Thanks for checking out Church on the Rock's message this week. We would love to help you take your next step in knowing God better. The best way to do that is visit cotr.org/next steps. Or if you're not near our physical campus, visit our online community at cotr.org/online. Enjoy the message and know that God is for you.
You know, right now, a lot of things are changing. You know, in the last month, 6 weeks, 8 weeks, a lot of things have changed, haven't they? I mean, we've changed everything. School, movies, restaurants, the way we do church. Everything is changing. It's just amazing how everything has changed so fast. It seems like overnight, doesn't it? Everything is changing. But I have a question before we pray. I want to pray for you. But I have a question. Are you changing? Everything around us is changing, but are you changing? Well, Pastor, I think I am. Well, then my next question would be, where are you changing? You might want to ask a loved one or a good friend the change that they see in you during this epidemic, during this season right now. You see, everything around us is changing, but the big question is, are we changing? And then secondly, where are we changing? Well, I declare that you and I are changing, and especially in our walk with the Lord. You know, the other day, Pastor Kim shared how in the last few weeks, she's drawn closer to God than in the last several decades. Well, that's really awesome, isn't it? I want to pray right now. I want to pray for the change that God wants in your life. I want to pray that you would recognize it, that you would be willing to do it, and that God would give you the grace to carry it through. Father, right now, I thank you that we're in such a time as this. God, you are in control because we've given you our life. We've given you our family. We've given you our ministry. And right now, I just pray for everyone under the sound of my voice, every state, every nation, every island, everyone listening, everyone watching. God, help us to examine our life. Are we changing? And then ask ourselves, where are we changing? And then be open to the change that you want in our life. And God, I speak grace and I speak the Holy Spirit and the power of the Spirit to help us make those changes and renewing our mind in the Word of God for 50 days in the Word for transformation to happen. Father, the changes that you want in us, let it be. The changes that you want to happen in each one of us and in our church, God, let it be. Not our will, but your will be done. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. I want to introduce you to Pastor Bob Yandian. And Pastor Bob is a friend of our ministry. We're partners with his ministry. He comes from Tulsa, Oklahoma. He's an outstanding author, teacher, speaker all over the world. And we're just delighted and privileged to have him here with us tonight at Church on the Rock 101. Would you welcome with me Pastor Bob Yandian? Pastor Bob, it's an honor again to have you with us here at Church on the Rock on a Wednesday night.
Thank you, David. And, good to see you.
We've got some questions for you. And okay. So the first one, Bob, is could you share where do you think we are in God's timetable?
Well, there's three things yet to come, and I believe we are very, very close to the time of the rapture of the church. And that will end the time of the Gentiles. That's in Romans chapter 11, verse 25. And the time of the Gentiles will be over. And the church will be taken to heaven. Then 7 years of tribulation will occur, which will be the last 7 years of Jewish time. And then Jesus will come at the end of that time and set up his kingdom. So, but what's going to happen before then, I really believe, is there's going to be great revival.
Great revival.
And I believe we are entering into that now. In fact, it's really happening around the world, not just here in the United States, but wow. It's kind of like in my lifetime, revival's always started in our country and then gone around the world.
Yeah.
Now it's starting around the world and now coming to our country.
Wow.
And I'm seeing a great awakening in churches as more desire for the supernatural, not just from the pastors, from the people.
Wow.
They're desiring to see the supernatural. Mm. So I believe that we are very close to the time of the coming of Jesus Christ.
So you have high hopes we're going to have a great revival before the rapture.
Yes. Yes, I believe that. And I believe also, you know, again, that we are what's really holding back Satan's desires in the kingdom right now. And once we're gone, he'll be able to accomplish what he wants. But right now, we are still the main thing holding him back. I consider we are the mud he has to swim through to get anything done.
Yeah. So, Bob, I know there are people watching, and they may have never heard of the rapture. Could you explain to what is the rapture?
Okay, really, the word rapture doesn't appear in the Bible, but it does use the word catching away. And it talks about his Jesus appearing. But there's that is the time that breaks apart. The church is here for over 2,000 years, but it's called the times of the Gentiles. And when the times of the Gentiles come to an end, the church will be removed, and all the church will be removed. There's debates on this all the way around, but the church has to be gone because the entire earth will shift back to Jewish time for seven more years. There will be a temple. There'll be sacrifices in the temple. It will not save anybody any more than saved anybody in the Old Testament. It will be ritual that will point back to the work of Jesus Christ. But the first thing that happens is the church has gone. The gospel and the word of God will be transferred back to the custodianship of Israel. It was belonged to Israel before that time. We're not the first to have the Great Commission. Israel was given the Great Commission.
That's so good.
And the Great Commission was two things, as ours is. Number one, evangelize, and number two, make disciples. And Isaiah 52:7 says, how lovely on the mountains are the feet of them that bring glad tidings. That's the Hebrew word for gospel, good news. And they had it too. But when Jesus came, he took it from them because of their rejection of him, gave it to the Gentiles and said, you're going to have it until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. Then I'm going to give it back to Israel for seven more years.
Wow.
As soon as the church is gone, 144,000 Jews will accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. But understand this, there cannot be any of the church because the whole earth shifts back to Jewish time. All Christians will be taken, and God will basically start in the midst of that revival, switch it over to the Jews and give it to them. And so for 7 years, they'll have it, and they'll evangelize the world. In fact, people often talk about how bad the tribulation is. It is really the greatest time of evangelism the world has ever seen.
Goodness.
The greatest revival the world has ever seen will come in the greatest time of despondency and tribulation and horrible things going on the earth, because where sin abounds, grace always much more abounds. So that's what's coming up in the days to come.
So, Bob, you mean you're pre-trib?
Yes. No apologies.
You're not pan-trib?
No. I mean, I have no problem with anybody who disagrees with me. I just tell them, wait till we're flying through the air and say, see, I told you so.
Yeah, we'll wave at them, won't we, Bob?
Yeah, wave at them. Yeah, sure.
That's awesome. Why do you believe the church will go up before the Great Tribulation?
We will have a time period of judgment in heaven called the judgment seat of Christ, and everyone will have to be there. And so we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and we will not, that's not a judgment to see if we can go to heaven, because we'll already be in heaven. It's a judgment for our rewards, for the good things we did on the earth while we were here. Revelation 14:13 says that when we die, our works do follow us. Well, our works will be rewarded at the judgment seat of Christ. So for 7 years, we'll go through the judgment seat of Christ while the earth is going through the tribulation. Then at the end of that time, we will come back with Jesus in Revelation 19, riding on white horses, and coming back at the Battle of Armageddon.
Yeah.
And we'll witness Jesus fight that battle, and that will end everything. That will end all of these time periods. Then the earth will go over into the time of the millennial reign of Jesus, of which it says the kingdoms of this world. Right now, the kingdoms belong to the world and the world system. But says at that time, the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and forever. That day is coming. So we have a glorious ending.
We do.
Down the way.
We've got a blessed hope, don't we, Bob?
Yes, we do. Wow. Absolutely.
So in the Battle of Armageddon, who's fighting there?
All the armies of the world will be under control of Antichrist. And he's after two things. Number one, to destroy Jerusalem and take over that throne and destroy the Jews. If he can destroy the Jews and destroy Jerusalem and take over the throne, there is no prophecy that God can fulfill, because all the prophecy had to do with that time.
Wow.
And so Jesus will wait to the very last second to come back, because every second he waits, it's time for one more to get saved, one more to get saved. But finally, he'll be backed into a corner. Jesus will basically be backed into a corner. And in one day, the armies of Antichrist will take over half of Jerusalem. And the next day, they're going to get up to take up the second half. And on that day, the whole earth goes black. You can't see your hand in front of your face.
Wow.
And then after 24 hours of perpetual darkness, Jesus Christ will come back as lightning from the east to the west. There's no natural light that will penetrate that supernatural darkness. All of the light in the world, the searchlights, no matter what they have, will not function on that day. And the people of the earth will have to sit in 24 hours of darkness. And the book of Joel calls it the Valley of Decision.
Yeah.
God will give people 24 more hours to say, do you want Jesus Christ or not?
Goodness.
The moment he comes back, then it's going to be too late. And if you accept him during that time, fine. But if you decide to wait till the end, no. But when only thing that will penetrate supernatural darkness is supernatural light. Goodness. And Jesus will come back as lightning. The whole earth will see him. Wow. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess. And at that time, Jesus will fight the battle of Armageddon and win it and destroy all the armies of Antichrist. And so basically the Bible says it's the worst battle that's ever existed. More wow. death and destruction in that battle than any battle up until that time. And Jesus even said of the second half of the tribulation, he called it the Great Tribulation. Mm-hmm. The first half is the tribulation. The second half is the great. Mm-hmm. And he said it's the worst time in all history. Ever has been or ever will be.
Wow. Wow.
So we do come out victorious on the other side.
Yeah. So, Bob, at the end of that, then what is this thousand-year millennial, what is that?
That is Jesus Christ coming back, reclaiming the earth. Right now, the earth belongs to the Lord, but not the kingdoms of it. It's like Jesus owns the building, and Satan has a lease on one of those rooms in the building. Uh-huh. But when his lease comes up, Jesus won't renew his lease. He basically sublet it from Adam. Adam was given that lease, and he sublet it to the devil. Uh-huh. And so there's going to come a day when Jesus comes back. He'll claim this whole thing back. And on that day, the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our God and Jesus Christ also. And he'll reign forever and ever. The first 1,000 years is called the millennium. And during that time, the curse is removed off the earth that was placed here at the time of Adam. The lion will lay down with the lamb. And it even says that nature will rejoice at the coming of the Lord. The trees will clap their hands because they're released from the bondage of corruption. Yeah. The oceans will clap their hands. The whole world will be rejoicing at the coming of Jesus Christ. Mm. We'll be coming back with him in heaven. The earth will see him, and like an antiphonal, we'll be praising the Lord, and all of nature will be praising the Lord because the curse has been removed. Wow. Animals will lay down with each other, the lion with the lamb. The child can pick up a snake and not be bitten. Everything that existed in the garden will exist at that time, and the whole earth will go into a 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ. And the good news is we won't have to elect him every 4 years.
I'm not going there, Bob. So at the end of the millennial, then what happens then, Bob?
That's the judgment of sinners. The judgment of Christians occurred during the 7 years of tribulation. At the end of that time, hell will be emptied. Every unbeliever that's ever existed, including Satan and demons and every religion and all the fallen angels, will all stand before the great white throne judgment. There's 1,000 years separating the judgment of Christians and the judgment of all sinners. And at that time, it's not their works. It's not anything. It's one thing. Did you accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? Mm. And those names not found written in the book of life are cast into the lake of fire, which is worse than hell. And on that day, they'll be cast in the lake of fire forever and forever. Where it is, I don't know. It could be the farthest ends of the universe. We don't know where it is. It's the farthest from the presence of God possible. And then at the end of that time, then Jesus will renovate the earth. Because it'll still have the marks of the curse on it. Uh-huh. And he'll renew the earth and the atmosphere around it, the heavens and the earth. He's not going to renew all the universe, just the part that was tainted by sin.
Wow.
And like demons are part of the air. Satan is the prince of the power of the air.
Yeah.
So they even control the air around us, the atmosphere around us. But all that's going to be renovated, and we'll have a totally new earth and a totally new heavens surrounding the earth. And then heaven will come and rest over the earth forever and forever. And God's desire that heaven and earth work together will literally come to pass on that day.
Goodness.
Whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Mm. And whatever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. Yeah. It's going to actually come. And we'll find out that even earth was made in heaven's image.
Yeah.
And they'll rest over the two, rest over each other. Then we'll have resurrection bodies forever and forever. no more natural bodies on earth. We'll just all have resurrection bodies.
Okay, but what's our new body going to look like?
Like Jesus, except for no scars. It can walk through walls. We can walk on water. Yeah. We can eat, but we don't have to. We can eat and not gain weight.
Praise
I'm looking
the Lord.
Forward to that
Praise
one.
The Lord. We can have pizza and not get fat, right, Bob?
That's right. And we can go the whole ends of the universe at the speed of thought, not the speed of light. Like angels can instantly go from heaven to earth and be standing right beside you. I've said if you yell out the name Jesus, by the time G is out of your mouth, they're standing beside you before Zus ever gets out of your mouth. And that's how fast we can traverse the universe. We can join hands and say, let's go see the Pleiades, and boom, be there and just see it. I like to think the universe is our playground forever and forever.
So we can travel faster than a new Hellcat.
I don't know. Yes, we can.
So, Bob, what are we going to be doing? I mean, throughout eternity, are we going to be on a cloud with a harp? Or what are we going to be doing?
I hope not.
Yeah.
I think eternity will literally be every day will be like a brand new day. Wow. We'll see things we've never seen before. And this will be eternity. This is God. Mm-hmm. Every time we look out in the universe, there's not two planets that are the same. There's not two moons mm-hmm. that are the same that surround the planets. Mm-hmm. Everything is so unique. The colors are so unique that the further we go out there, we find out God's imagination is incredible. I was in a hotel room one night watching, and I was just thumbing through the channels. I was at church, and I went through the channels. I stopped at the Weather Channel because they had a one-hour special on snow. I thought, how can you get an hour out of snow? They literally found out that the snowflakes they took a picture of in the 1970s, they used flash bulbs, and the heat actually melted the outside of the snowflakes, and they couldn't get a good picture. Now with LED lights, they got perfect pictures. Yeah. And they found out it's true. No two snowflakes are the same. And they say trillions fall at one time.
Goodness.
Then they found out the trillions that fall at this in Utah are different than the ones that fall in Colorado, are different than the ones that fall in Canada, on the West Coast, East Coast, and around the world. And all those snowflakes falling are different, and there's no two snowflakes the same now, nor ever have been.
Goodness.
Every snowflake is unique from all the way back or ever will exist, and that's the imagination of God.
Wow.
So every day in heaven will be totally unique.
Goodness.
Forever. We'll find out the vastness of God, so we can't get bored.
That's awesome.
We won't need to play a harp and wish we were back on Earth.
Okay, Bob. What should be our response to what's happening as the church?
We have two groups of people out there, sinners and saints. Mm. For the sinner, we need to let them know that all hope looks like it's been removed, but there's a hope in Jesus Christ. I was so impressed. I was watching a news channel here just a few days ago, and Franklin Graham came on with a 30-second commercial. Mm. I thought, well, he's going to talk about Hand of Hope. He's going to talk about his ministry and if you need food or something. Mm. He didn't. He took 30 seconds and told them about the foundation of their life has to be Jesus Christ. And in this time where they've lost all hope and everything, and he led them in a 10-second prayer to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. At the end of that commercial, he said, just write me, let me know, or text me, let me know that you accepted Jesus. He said, we're glad to hear that. And I thought, here's a guy that spent millions of dollars on national television to spread the gospel. That's what we should be doing. Instead of trying to figure out what's going on, explain what's going on, let's talk to people who've lost every bit of hope because their hope has been on the security of life. Mm-hmm. It's always been predictable, and all of a sudden, there's no prediction.
Wow.
They need to know about Jesus Christ. That should be our answer to the world. To the church, it ought to be. This ought to be an indication to you that if you felt in the same position the world did, and you've been sweating and stewing over everything, you've forgotten what you've been taught.
Yeah.
Your foundation. In the midst of calamity, never throw away what you know because of what you don't know. And that's what's happened. Because they don't know what's going on, they've thrown away everything they know. And they're shaken like the rest of the world when we have a hope that cannot be shaken. So my whole thing is we need to come back and tell the church again, get your foundation right. Get your things on the Word of God. And the best thing to happen when you don't know what to do is fall back on what you do know.
Uh-huh.
I know my Redeemer lives and will one day stand on the earth. I know in whom I have believed.
Yeah.
And am persuaded he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. I know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. If we fall back on what we know, God will explain what we don't know.
Bob, you sound like one of those word pastors.
I am. Once a pastor, always a pastor. Yeah.
Okay, Bob, one more. How do you see the church on the other side of this epidemic?
Wiser and ready for revival. The world is ready for revival. We need to be ready with the gospel and preach the simplicity of it. Don't complicate it. Mm. Make it as simple as possible. Paul prayed a prayer and asked the Colossians to pray a prayer for him in chapter 4. He said, pray for me. And here's what the Greek says, that I can keep it simple, as is my duty. If there was anybody that could complicate the word, it was Paul. If there's anybody that could teach on the ramifications of the tribulation, it was Paul. And Paul said, I got so much up here. Pray for me. I can keep the gospel simple. The gospel needs to be so simple, a fool couldn't err in it.
Wow, Bob, that's so good. That is so good. Well, Bob, thank you so much. We love you, your family.
We love you too.
We're partners. And if someone wants to be a partner, they want to follow you online, your website, how do they find you?
It's real complicated. BobYandian.com.
Real simple.
Real simple. And I have all kinds of downloads, all you kinds do. Of information, all types of books, and something like this one on the coming tribulation, yes. All this. I have one called Understanding the End Times. I make it so simple you can't miss it.
You do. I've listened to that so many times, Bob. It's so good. And right now, like on your Student of the Word, aren't you doing discipleship right now?
Yes.
You're teaching on discipleship.
Yes. Right now, so. That's the main push of my ministry, is to not just make converts, but to make disciples.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, Bob, would you pray for our audience right now?
Yeah. Father, I pray for all those watching right now. Father, if there's anybody out there that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, Holy Spirit, I know you've been speaking to them during this time. And it's so simple to open up their heart and say, Jesus, I receive you as the Lord of my life. And Father, you'll answer that prayer and make them a child of God. But Father, I pray for all those Christians out there, many who are scared, many who are frightened, don't know what's going on at this time. Father, nothing takes you by surprise. It takes us by surprise, but you're never taken by surprise. And you have the answer before the problem even exists. So, Father, we look to that answer. And, Father, right now we draw our security from you. And, Father, in the days to come, let us see that life is more exciting than ever before. All problems are temporary. All storms are temporary. The sun is still shining on the other side. And, Father, I give you praise for it. I pray right now for David's church, the congregation, the people that are there, for the growth to come in their life. And, Father, they're going to take this as a learning experience and come out stronger on the other side than ever before. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Bob. You know, I just want to encourage you, take that next step like Pastor Bob said. And if you want to know more about his ministry, go to his website, get his materials, become a partner. We're a partner with his ministry. And I promise you, you'll be blessed and you'll grow in the Lord. And Tommy's going to come right now. He's going to tell you the next step. Until next time, don't forget, I miss you, I love you, and God is for you.
What is your next step in your faith? Well, here at Church on the Rock, we would love to help you. Maybe it's to learn more about discovering what it means to belong to a church family, being part of a small group, or using your God-given gifts to serve others. Head over to cotr.org/next steps, where you can find out more to all of these. Or if you're part of our online community, visit us at cotr.org/online. Have a great week, and don't forget that God is for you.